All right, so let's just pray together quickly and then we'll go ahead and start. Lord, we are grateful for today. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that Holy Spirit, may you guide us, be with us right now, and those that are on their way coming, direct their steps, Lord, that we may be able to gather together in this place and hear you speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so Brother Jiwon did a great job. I've been following the recordings. Even if I was absent in the body, I was present in the spirit. So I'm going to continue with what I've come with, entitled for today, Ways in Which God Speaks. Ways in Which God Speaks. So as we are just beginning, I want each one of us to begin to think of some ways in which God speaks. Or maybe you might ask yourself to say, has God ever spoken to me? Have you ever heard God speak to you? Or maybe you've heard people say, oh, I just heard the Lord speaking to me, the word of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, it seems as if they are joking or maybe they're just trying to prove a point. So we just want to know whether it is true God speaks or not. Amen.
Amen.
And then we are going to draw our teaching from Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we are going to read from verse 9 to 23. That's the major portion of scripture that we have today. So I'm going to read for us. You see the scripture is already written there, so just read through. Verse 9, the Bible says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as the reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you are looking for. Why have you come? The man replied, we have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. Hallelujah. Now, this story is very interesting. When we begin reading from chapter 10, verse 1, there is a portion of Cornelius' vision. The Bible says very specific that at 3 in the afternoon, as Cornelius was praying before the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And as he was wondering, he asked to say, what is it, Lord? The angel told him to say, your prayers and your gifts for the poor have come up to God as a memorial offering. Therefore, send for a man who is called Peter. He is in Joppa right now. Have him come to your house so that he may tell you what to do. Very interesting. Now, Cornelius is going to dispatch the two faithful men, his servants, the soldiers. A centurion is somebody who was in charge of about 100 soldiers, a commander. So he sent two faithful ones. So the following day, the next day, as they were approaching Joppa, the Bible says that Peter went up on top of the roof to pray. We know here it's not really a big deal to think about a roof. We know we can climb up and then it is made nicely flat whereby you can be there, watch the view. I do that at Fuller on the third floor on the other side, even on top of the library. Yeah, that's a good example. Okay, yeah. So he went up there to pray, and the Bible says that he felt very hungry. Not just hungry, but very hungry. And he wanted something to eat. And immediately he went into a trance. Heaven was open, and he saw a four-cornered sheet coming down from heaven. And on top of it, there were four-footed animals, reptiles, and the birds of the air. And then the voice of the Lord spoke to say, Peter, kill and eat. Now remember, the man is hungry, and then food has been presented to him. Not even the prepared food or roasted, but the live food. Then he's told to kill and eat. Wow. And then he refused. He said, surely not, Lord, for I have never touched anything unclean from birth. It went up. It came down for the second time. Same command, kill and eat. He refused. Same words. It went up. It came down for the third time. Kill and eat. He refused. He said, no, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord told him to say, do not call anything unclean or impure which the Lord has made pure. At that point, the sheet went up into heaven and disappeared. When he came back to his senses, he was thinking, what was the meaning of that? The two men from Cornelius arrived at the gate, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him to say, Peter, these men have come for you. Are we seeing the communications, the dynamics that are going on? These men have come for you. They are Gentiles, but do not refuse, do not hesitate. Go with them. And so as he was coming down, the introduction had already been done by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord himself, which is very interesting. And then he just came down and said, oh, no worries, come in. I've been expecting you. What a wonderful thing to have such an insight, whereby when a visitor is coming, you already know what's going on. You just invite them in to say, okay, no worries. Here, I know what you have come for. And so he asked them to say, what's going on? They explained, they narrated everything that Cornelius had told them. Now, one thing we have to understand is that for Peter, he invited these guys, the Gentiles. Already, he was breaking tradition right there. Gentiles or Samaritans and Jews, they were not mingling together, okay? Because these guys, the Samaritans, were known to be unclean. They were not pure Jews, okay? They were half Jews and half Gentiles. So they were not considered to be people to mingle with. It's like the category of those who had leprosy, you know, or maybe the breeding sickness or something. Same, they were not supposed to come closer to these people, the pure Jews. And so for them to come and have Peter allow them, it only took the Lord to convince him. Amen? So without going like, you know, everywhere, those things that were on the sheet, the clean animals, four-footed, represented the clean animals. And then the reptiles, they represented the unclean. They were on one four-cornered sheet, not separate, but on one. And God gave the command to say, kill and eat everything here. That's an implication. And as he was refusing, God kept on saying, no, you have to do it. The four-footed animals represented the Jews, the clean ones. And then the reptiles represented the Gentiles. And so, the very God who had instituted the law and the tradition in the book of Leviticus to say you are not allowed to eat this or to mingle with the Gentiles is the same God who is coming in and tell Peter to say, the time has now changed. What you are not allowed to do, you are to do now. Amen. He resisted it because all of us here, we cannot find it very easy. If something that we've never done, you know, is just imposed on us to say, now we have to do it. That's why I was resisting. I was like, no. But God told him to say, you have to invite them in. So he invited them in. Now, I'm not going to go into all these dynamics and all the interpretation too much. I can do as much as I can, but I'm going to reserve that for today for the sake of focusing on the ways in which God speaks to us. So we've seen, I've already mentioned that in verse 1 to verse 8, it is a part where Cornelius is being ministered to by the angel of the Lord. The angel appeared. The Message Bible says that, like the next door neighbor. A man appeared like the next door neighbor, vividly, and he started talking to him. At the same time, Peter also, as the two guys were approaching, the Holy Spirit started dealing with him. Are we seeing the communication? So by the time they are reaching there, Peter already knows. So when God is speaking to us, if God speaks to me about something concerning Gihon, even as I go to him, he's going to have also insight about that. It happens. The moment I say it, to say, oh, I feel the Lord is saying this, he'll be like, wow, that has been upon my mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. And at that time, you hear me also getting encouraged and then adding more and more. Amen? Because it means the encouragement is there. So, this is how God was speaking at that particular time. Now, I want us to consider, in which ways does God speak in our lives? For Peter, he was praying, and then the Holy Spirit showed him a vision in a trance. For Cornelius, he was also praying, and an angel of the Lord appeared. So one had an angel of the Lord appear, the other one had the Spirit of God speak to him. Different places. The message came in dynamics. The other one, it came in figures, in symbols. The other one, it was very plain. Send men to go and call this man. His name is so and so. Is it possible that God can do that? We believe that God can do that, even up to today. It's possible. Amen? It's possible. I know people are like, that can really sound weird. If somebody came and said, okay, your name is so and so, we'll be like, maybe you've seen me on Facebook profile or something. Yeah. But God speaks in our circumstances. So what was the circumstance? For Cornelius, there was need for salvation. Amen? Now, we can learn something from there to say, giving to the poor, helping the need, it's a good thing, but it does not earn us salvation. Are we together? Because some people, they say, no, as long as I help people, I don't go to church, I don't even know God, it's okay. It doesn't matter. No, this man was doing everything. Cornelius, he was God-fearing, helping the people in need, but there was the greater need, which was the spiritual hunger, salvation. And it had to, God had to call somebody to go there by the name of Peter, to minister to his family. We'll hear later that his whole household will be saved. So God speaks using our circumstances. For Peter, his circumstance, first of all, he was praying, and as he was praying, he felt hungry. In the midst of being very hungry, in the hunger, God spoke to him. Now look at this. He's hungry, as I earlier mentioned. Then he's presented the food, the live animals, and he's told, kill and eat because you are hungry. Wasn't making sense, literally. But the interpretation will come to say, the very hunger that you are feeling, somebody's souls are hungry for salvation. Hallelujah. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, we hear the Bible tells us that the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people shall hunger and thirst. They will not hunger for bread, nor thirst for water, but for the word of the Lord. Amen. So that was the interpretation there. So God was trying to communicate to him. Not was trying. He was communicating to Peter to say, you have this hunger. Somebody's feeling exactly for salvation, the word of God. That is the greatest food. Even when Jesus was in the wilderness, praying and fasting, he was hungry. The enemy also came in on the opposite to use the circumstance to tempt him to say, if you are the Son of Man, take this stone and turn it into bread and eat because you are hungry. Amen? So God will speak to us in our circumstances. At the same time, the enemy will also come. When you look at our circumstances, will be like, yeah, this is an advantage. Since this person has this need, I'm going to hook them through the very need, and I'll prevail. So we need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Amen. Praise God. So you speak in our circumstances. As we are passing through what we are passing through, we need to ask ourselves to say, what is God saying in what I'm going through? Is there any word from the Lord about my condition? Is there anything? God always speaks, but we do not just hear him. We do not just perceive him. Amen? He's always speaking. Imagine, and we need to pursue that so that we can be able to hear him. We need to hear his voice. Imagine, we are coming here. At the end, we'll start sharing. Now imagine you are speaking and no one is listening to you and no one is hearing you or even responding to you. How are you going to feel? That's exactly what happens when we are just telling God, Lord, this, and we are not taking time to hear what he's saying. Amen? There must be a conversation. If you tell somebody that we are friends, it means you share. There is that mutuality whereby, you know, you speak, then you listen, you speak back. That's what it's supposed to be between you, me, and God. We speak to him, and then we listen to hear him also speak back to us. Amen. I was just sharing with somebody to say, we have this imagination, or maybe philosophy, to say, when God speaks, especially in the movies when we are watching, we hear the rumblings and the thunders. Elijah! You know, trying like to make the big voice of God a devil. Actually, that's not even the case. When God is speaking, it's a very still voice. You know? It's not aggressive whereby you know. No, that is the enemy. The voice of God is so tender and so sweet. He speaks so calm. Amen? Amen? And so when you are attentive, that's when you are going to hear him. So in our circumstances, when you are sick, as you pray, ask God, what is he saying about that sickness? Maybe sometimes he even give you insight, which will lead to your healing or your solution. When you are being attentive, maybe it's a job situation, maybe you have become unemployed, or maybe it's financial struggle or something. You know, the Lord will speak, and once he speaks, you obey, Breakthrough comes just like that. Amen? Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Praise God. You should agree, say yes or no.
Yes.
Yes. Here where I am, that's why I'm not even dressed up like on Sunday, where you can't lift up your hand. Even when I see you lifting, I will ignore as if I'm not seeing anything. But here, you can ask questions. Amen. When I give you the opportunity. Praise God. Yeah. So he speaks in our circumstances. Okay. The other thing that we need to understand is that when we read the Bible, in the book of Job, in other ways that God speaks to us, in the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 14, the Bible says that God does speak one way or the other, though no man can understand or can perceive it. In the vision of the night, in the dreams, okay, when constant pain, sometimes you become sick. There are some sicknesses that comes, not that the enemy is attacking, but maybe God is just, the enemy will be attacking, but God will use it to draw your attention also, to speak to you. Amen? Job 33, we can read that. I've quoted it somewhere there. You can find it. You can find the Job. Under number two, yeah. Praise God. Sprinting is okay. I figured it out. Praise God. Okay, so it says, for God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Oh, no, it is okay. Well. No worries. Thank you very much. I did just see properly on the other side. Now one way or the other, though man may not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit. And then it goes on and on. So God speaks in different ways. But the question is, are we able to hear him speak to us? Amen? So today, I want us to just have that attention, to think about in ways God communicates to us. Sometimes it's not just through dreams. I know some people are very obsessed about dreams. Every little thing, I have a vision. And when you hear about it, sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Because as human beings, the way we are, God will speak to us in the dreams. I, for one, that's one of my gifts. I see things in the dreams, okay? Once I see it, I know to say, okay, that one was for me. What I saw during the day, then it was being invited by my subconsciousness. But this one is from God, okay? So we'll dream, we'll have visions, sometimes we'll be quiet, alone, as if it's just an imagination, Have you seen whereby you are talking to somebody, they are here, but it's like they are gone, they are not hearing you. Sometimes they are going to be like in deep thoughts. Sometimes you can go into the trance just like that. I don't want to complicate you in those dimensions, because people present different things, some of which doesn't even make sense sometimes when they talk about it. Amen. But all I'm saying is that we should be open to hear the Lord speak to us. Sometimes God will speak through a friend, just as I gave an example of me and Yvonne, okay? Somebody just says something that you've been hearing repeatedly in your ear. You take that to be the confirmation. Sometimes you just open the scripture, all of a sudden you go to this word. Or maybe you go in church on Sunday, the same word comes. You go to Monrovia, the same word, somebody is speaking about the same thing. You go in LA, you find the same thing. You just have to ask yourself, to say, why? The same word is following me everywhere I'm going. It is God speaking. Sometimes even the little kid you just hear, you will hear them repeating the same words in a similar manner. God has spoken. Amen? But the question is, are we going to obey? So he speaks in our circumstances. He speaks in signs and symbols. Okay? For Peter, those were symbolic things. The crane standing, symbolizing the Jews. The reptiles symbolizing the Gentiles. You speak in figures. So we need to pray for wisdom to interpret. Okay? Because sometimes you see something, you know, these visions, things, if you're not careful, again, you can miss it out. For example, let me give you a quick story. For example, when I just became a Christian, I was praying, you know, intercession, spiritual warfare, and when I sleep, I used to see my dad, my own father. He would come with a spear in the dream, and he would begin to chase me, wants to stab me. All the time. And then I'll wake up, I'll go to him, I was like, Dad, you visited me. You know, then he'll be like, what do you mean, my son? Dad, you came with a spear, you wanted to kill me. And he was like, how can I do that? I'm your father. I'm like, no, I dreamt about you. You know, so I started thinking about it. The same thing, over and over. Then one day I prayed, I said, Lord, what is the meaning of this? And God told me to say, your powers of darkness from your father's sight that you have been dealing with and breaking in prayer, so they are advancing to stop you. It is not your father. It's just being a figure that it is coming from his sight. So I got the word. I went and told him, I said, I apologize, actually. I've gotten the interpretation. It wasn't you. Amen? So, is that making sense? Yeah, because sometimes if you are not careful, then you begin to accuse somebody. Oh, that one is a witch. That one is a wizard. Yes, I saw them. Yeah, I dream about them. I dream about them. You need to understand. Okay? That's why when people begin to go into too much dreaming and the like, you have to sit them down and say, calm down. Don't get lost in these things. Yeah, because they are extremes. Yeah, so signs and symbols. God will speak in different symbols. For example, King Saul rebels against God. And then the prophet, by sacrificing, which he was not supposed to do, then Samuel comes and tells him to say, because you've rebelled against God, the kingdom has been taken to somebody else. You are no longer the king. And so as Samuel was turning to leave, then Saul held his garment. And then a piece just tore. And then he turned. When he looked at that, he said, thus says the Lord, the way this garment has torn away, so is your kingdom. It has been torn away from you. And it has been taken to a different person. David will be anointed in its place. Symbolic. Amen? So God speaks in symbols. It's not everything, you know, that you see and then you want to take it literally and say, yeah, I've seen this one. No, you need to understand. So this is what was happening to Peter. Okay. Then the four corners there, I interpreted it as the four corners of the world, the north, the east, the south, and the west. Okay. So it speaks in circumstances, it speaks in signs and symbols. Then it speaks in a still voice. I already mentioned that God's voice, the Spirit's voice, is very tender. It's a whisper. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes we say, I had two hearts. You know, one was telling me go, the other one was telling me don't go. Seriously, how many hearts do we have? One. Amen. So we don't have two. You know, people will say, I know. The other heart was saying, God, the other, a thought. Those are just thoughts. So, actually, what happens is, if you are in a dilemma of making a decision, you are going to be battling between two voices. There is one that will be saying, do it. Mostly that one is the voice of the enemy. And then, if it is something to do which is not in agreement with the things of God, the Holy Spirit will also prompt you sometimes to say, do it now, 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 do it. Okay? But the enemy will come in to try to counterattack, to force you to do something which you are not supposed to do. You will be feeling lack of peace within you, but there is this driving force that is pushing you to say, do this, do this. And then there will be a tender voice that will whisper, God, it is normal. Amen? That is the Spirit of God right there. You don't have to hear, don't do it. No. Just soft. Soft and tenderly. That's the Spirit speaking. He's speaking right there. Okay? So he speaks in a still voice. There is a story of Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 19 there, after he runs away from Jezebel, and he claims to say, I'm the only prophet. All of them have been killed, and God challenges him to say, there are 7,000 besides you who have not bowed, this bow. Now, before God could speak to him, he had the whirlwind, you know, but God was not in there. There was the fire, God was not in there. So, there were all these, God was not in there. But suddenly, the still voice spoke and said, Elijah, what are you doing in there? Now, this is the prophet who was just killed and prevailed over 450 the first prophets of Baal. Now he takes off by the threat of King Jezebel. Just saying, if tomorrow is head going to be on this plate, let the gods strike me. The gods that even failed to answer the prayers of his prophets. Okay? What are you doing? They know, Lord, I'm the only one remaining. God said, come out of the cave. Go back to the place you are running away from. A still voice. Amen. When he was speaking to Abraham, a still voice. When he's speaking to you and me today, the still voice. This still voice, you hear it. So I've written to say God is still speaking. To Abraham, he spoke in a still voice. To Joseph, in a dream. To Moses, through the burning bush. So it's the dynamics. Okay? And then, through audible voice, to David, through the Psalms, he was singing, and so on and so forth. To us, he speaks to us through his word. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit also speaks to us. But as you read and study the word of God, the Lord will speak to you. Get that Bible. Just find some time. It's very difficult, I know. We are always busy. Especially in America, you know. We are always busy. It is schedule after schedule. This life, it's a busy one. I've come to learn my lesson. I even remember Zambia, I'm like, oh my goodness, I used to have some time to just sit and say, I'm killing time. I even said that last time. But here, you don't kill time. You even hunt for time. Because it's written. Yeah, we can be very busy, but we need to find some time. Whether it's on your phone, just put the Bible. Let me tell you the secret, the way I read the Bible. If I'm tired, I've got the Bible audio on my phone. I'll just put it down, chapter 1, Genesis, and then put it on my ear. It will start speaking. I'm reading. Amen? Does that sound good? Yeah, because sometimes the eyes are going to be very tired. You know, you want to open them, then they are closing down. So it's better now to begin to hear it. Okay, that's what I do sometimes. When I'm very tired, then I'll just put the audio there. Then I'll be listening. Okay. Eventually, I'll even become alert and I would even want to go and close the door. Praise God. So let's find time to just read the Bible. You know, we can begin from somewhere. Sometimes there is that temptation whereby you want to start reading from Genesis to Revelation same day. No, you cannot do it that way. If you are beginning, I usually encourage people to begin to read from the Gospels. That is going to be very simple. Because if you entangle yourself in the Old Testament, you are going to begin to find things you haven't understood much. You begin to have problems. You think that you need to implement everything that you are finding, not knowing that you are not supposed to do that. I had that temptation when I was just coming up, you know, whereby, oh, as long as it is written in the Bible, it has to be done. No. Some things have just been recorded there for us to learn. Hallelujah. So he has spoken to us through his powerful words. Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of the image of God. Amen? Praise God. So as we listen to God, as we open our eyes, as we become sensitive, as each one of us is speaking, even sharing in our small group today, we just pay attention. We'll hear people speaking through different people. And we are going to find just insights out of them. That's how the Spirit of the Lord will say. I've had times whereby somebody was just sharing something about their life, not knowing that they just gave me an answer that I was looking for myself. Amen. So it's all about being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's end here for tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. You have showed us in the scriptures how you spoke to Cornelius, how you spoke to Peter, and how you eventually united these two figures and your power manifested. Cornelius' household was saved. They were baptized in the Spirit and they began to speak in new tongues. Lord, we pray that in the same way today, speak to us, even as we share in our groups, even as we continue in our daily devotions, to read your word, to study your word, to pray to you, Lord. Minister to us to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.